Hello, everybody. I'm Ryan Sir, along with Don Helbig, and welcome to the Pick Six, the podcast by the Attractions Group that goes over the latest theme park and attractions industry news and hot takes. How you doing, Don?
I'm doing great. A lot going on in the industry with all the parks getting ready to open for at least the spring season here. But before we delve into this week's Pick Six, let me remind our listeners where they can tune into the Attractions Group podcast. You can catch us on your favorite podcast apps like Facebook, follow us on X, and subscribe to us on YouTube. Ryan, what do we got first?
Okay, yeah. So our first stop on this wonderful journey is going to be Disneyland out there in Anaheim, California. So Disneyland has recently implemented price increases, marking the first time some ticket prices have surpassed the $200 per day threshold in the park's history. This adjustment is part of their routine pricing structure updates, accommodating varying demand by offering different prices based on days of the week and seasons. The latest changes involve transitioning from a three-tier to a five-tier system and slightly raise the price for entry to Disneyland and Disney's California Adventure Park. On lower demand days, such as off-season and midweek, one-day tickets to either park will remain at $104. So dynamic pricing, Don. You know, we had Dennis Spiegel on the show, and he talked about how this is going to be the day and age of it. And here we are, Disneyland.
Yeah, you're starting to see it everywhere. So not a surprise that that has, you know, now come into play at Disneyland. You know, you talk about the demand. I mean, there's still, you know, they're not going to have any shortage of guests wanting to pay that $200 per day to visit the park.
I completely agree. You know, and it's the demand is inelastic to a sense. I know that there's a lot of criticism with Walt Disney World that it's unaffordable to the average household. I think that's absolutely true. The problem, though, is that they're hitting capacity. So we're not sending that message out to them. So, yeah. Where are we heading to next, Don?
Going to head out to Minnesota, where Valley Scare rises once again from the depths. Minnesota's premier Halloween extravaganza returns to Valley Fair this autumn, boasting an expanded array of spine-tingling delights to usher in the spooky season. Guests can prepare for an unparalleled experience with six immersive haunted mazes, featuring three brand new chilling additions, along with three revamped scare zones. I guess can delve into a world of eerie entertainment and savor tantalizing Halloween-themed treats and drinks. Plus, under the moonlit sky, guests can still enjoy some of their favorite exhilarating rides. And fear not, for those seeking a more family-friendly adventure, tricks and treats, we'll be back with daytime Halloween festivities. Great to see. The guests really missed Valley Scare. So it just was really exciting news for fans of Valley Fair.
I agree. And I think that the lesson we learned from this was that Valley Fair thought that they could take away the haunt event and there would be not nearly as much backlash as there was. Guests repeatedly said, I'm not going to buy a pass or a ticket until you bring it back. And here you are. So lesson learned, you know.
Now, if they could just get a new roller coaster, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's true. I mean, and Valley Scare is probably a bigger investment over, I mean, probably a lot of the stuff, there's no way they kept it. I bet a lot of it ended up in the landfill. So I bet a lot of their stuff's going to be new. So their investment is probably pretty astounding to bring this back, you know, as a startup event. But good for them. I'm glad that they brought it back, and I'm glad that they got their message through. But hey, let's head to the next location. So we're heading to Georgia. So preparations are underway to build a new aquatic center across from the Walter B. Williams Jr. Park in Milledgeville, Georgia. Say that one twice. The roughly $5 million facility is slated to debut on Memorial Day weekend of 2025 and will include a lazy river, a large pool, splash pads, and water slides. That's really cool that, because I've stayed at hotels that have lazy rivers. It's kind of cool that these aquatic centers are kind of getting them now too, don't you think?
It is, and it's really good for the community in that area. So it's nice to see that this is underway, and they're going to have a new aquatic center.
Yeah, where are we heading to next?
Attention, thrill seekers. Holiday World and Splash and Safari in southern Indiana is hosting a charity auction for the inaugural rides on its latest roller coaster, Good Gravy. Those rides will take place on Friday, May 3rd, a week before the official opening of the park to the public. Winners not only get to ride first, but also receive two tickets for a future visit and honorary certificates, all while supporting the North Spencer Community Action Center. The auction is underway. It ends April 19th at noon Central Daylight Time. Bid start at $150.
Yeah, I really like that theme parks do this. It's such a great opportunity because it raises money for the cause. But also, if somebody really wants to be the first rider, as many clearly do want to be, they have that opportunity for a great cause. So I think it's such a win-win, don't you?
I do. And, you know, like you said, a great cause. It's great awareness for the ride. It gives those enthusiasts that really want to be the first to ride this their opportunity to do so. And if you are one of those first riders, you know, you get one of those 10 seats, you know, you can ride this thing 100 times this summer, but no ride is going to be more meaningful than that first ride for what it means.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's going to be meaningful and it's going to be kind of novel too, because if you're a Holiday World fan, this is going to be right before the park opens to the public. So you'll always associate that with the park opening. You know, I remember with, you know, the Banshee events and the Diamondback auction and stuff. That was the way I always thought about it, was I do get to be the first rider on this, but also, you know, the park's open this weekend, finally, after a long off season. So good for them. So we're going to be traveling now to Sandusky, and huge news out of Top Thrill 2. So you can get an exclusive sneak peek of Cedar Point's upcoming Top Thrill 2 with the first on-ride video starring the park's director of communications, Tony Clark, now available on Cedar Point's YouTube channel. Top Thrill 2, the Zamperla-led rebuild of the former Top Thrill dragster coaster, features three launches, forward, backward, and forward again, reaching a top speed with each launch up to 120 miles an hour. Cedar Point has added a 400-foot tower to accommodate the second backward launch, and Top Thrill 2 is set to open at the start of the 2024 season on Saturday, May 4th. So coming in here, you know, we're showing the POV. So there's Tony Clark riding. So this actually looks far more intense than I thought it was going to be. So if you look at it, like the first launch, it comes up, you know, for you audio listeners, it goes about halfway up the 420-foot horseshoe, or let's say top hat. Then it launches backward and you can kind of tell that it's like distressing them a little bit more. And then we're going up the vertical spike in the back. And I know Tony Clark was saying something about airtime, airtime. And then we come down again. And it is launching. So 120 miles per hour, and it's going to be able to crest the top hat. I think it looks really exciting, don't you?
It looks outstanding. You know, I knew it was going to be a great ride. But if this doesn't get the adrenaline pumping and make you want to plan a visit to Cedar Point to ride Top Thrill 2, nothing will. And, you know, when you're looking at this video and you're just watching their faces, the speed going backwards, I think really surprised them as well, too. You can read, you know, all the, you know, the stats and see how fast you're going to be traveling backwards. But until you experience that, and you could tell that maybe that was a big surprise for them, too, was just how fast that really felt.
Yeah, and it's easy to forget, because I know that a lot of people have made the whole story about like, well, you don't get that 0 to 120 launch. And I think that's true. I think that's a fair argument. But, you know, looking at this and just seeing like, you know, their faces stretches and stuff, it tells me that it's going to be a great ride. And, you know, I look forward to riding in the future.
Yeah, I mean, it looks amazing. And, you know, I'm certainly going to plan a visit to Cedar Point to ride Top Thrill 2. There's a reason why everybody in the industry was talking about this attraction.
Right.
And I think, you know, as much as I liked Top Thrill Dragster, there's no doubt in my mind that they've made it better. And it looks like it's a win for Cedar Point reimagining this ride. It's a win for Zamperla, you know, with what they've been able to do to go, you know, taller and faster than they've ever gone before. You know, just really a lot of reasons to be excited about it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Very exciting ride. I'm glad that it looks like it worked well. you know, if that's the most non-scientific, non-engineering view, but, you know, Tony and the other guy got to ride and, you know, it made it very easily over that top hat. So
now, can you imagine how cold that was? It was probably only, what, 50, 52 degrees out that day. And then with the wind chill, that had to be cold.
I mean, it had to have been cold, but Hollow Weekends is going to be easily that cold, if not colder. And you're going to have a 1,000 people in line for it. So if Tony can't do it, we can't do it either, but he can, so we will.
No, great video. I really, really enjoyed watching that.
I did.
All right, moving on. Exciting updates await at Kennywood this season. You can step into nostalgia as Jeter's Pub, themed after the iconic pink mascot from the 1970s, offering 12 draft beers, including 8 from Penn Brewery, along with tasty charcuterie boards and a pub snacks. You can keep out an eye for Jeter himself as a costume character. Meanwhile, Carousel Burger Company offers a unique dining experience in the original merry-go-round pavilion, serving up juicy burgers, chicken fries, and mouth-watering milkshakes, including the new signature carousel shakes. Plus, brace yourself for thrilling upgrades to 2 signature rides, the restored Turtle and the reinvigorated Aero 360, promising flips and fun. And for ultimate enjoyment, Kennywood's season pass program is now even better with exclusive ride times, bonus discounts, and special offers for pass holders. Kennywood opens for the 2024 season on April 20th. Can't wait to visit.
The Aero 360 is an awesome ride. You know,
I'm looking forward to the Turtle. I think that is a classic. It was not open when I was there last fall. But, you know, you could see where the refurbishment that was taking place, and really looking forward to that attraction.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Very cool. Let's move on to the listener question. So the listener question comes from Glenn Buckner. He said, was Cedar Fair the more successful company? Why go with Six Flags as a company name after the merger with Six Flags? What's your take on this?
Well, I mean, it makes all the sense in the world to go with Six Flags. It's, you know, the more well-known brand, you know, across, you know, the world, really. It's well-known, you know, whether it's suppliers, it's theme park goers, it's potential sponsors. You know, everybody's heard of Six Flags. You say Six Flags, you know, it's an amusement theme park. You say Cedar Fair, and, you know, people ask, what's that? You know, if you ask the average person in Cincinnati who owns Kings Island, they're going to tell you Cedar Point.
Yes.
Owns Kings Island, not Cedar Fair. So it's just, you know, the name recognition. There was no question it was going to be known as a Six Flags company, unless they came up with a totally different name. And then that sets off a whole new, you know, thing that you have to kind of, you know, build yourself back up. But if they go to sit down with, you know, whether it's a manufacturer to, you know, to put in new rides, or you're talking with potential sponsors, you know, car dealerships, you know, Coca-Cola, any of those kind of, you know, brands out there that you want to partner with, you get into the room easier if you say you're with Six Flags than Cedar Fair.
Yeah. Now, playing devil's advocate, I remember when the incident happened on Superman Tower of Power at Kentucky Kingdom. And I feel like, you know, on the early days of social media, everybody thought it happened at their park. Because even in Cincinnati, people were saying like somebody died on Drop Tower, which wasn't true at all. Nobody died in this incident whatsoever. But a lot, like the nomenclature, shall we say, locally for everybody, Six Flags Fiesta Texas, Over Texas, and so on, is they just refer to it as Six Flags. So when something happens at a Six Flags park, a lot of people assume that it's at their park.
That's the downside to it, but you know, the bigger picture is just that, you know, you're going to have more brand recognition being known as a Six Flags company than Cedar Fair.
Yeah, and it's a weird merger because aren't they trading under FUN on the stock market?
Right. Yeah, keeping the stock market with fun still. With
FUN. They're going to make that fun, and they're going to be based out of Cedar Fair's satellite headquarters in Charlotte, North Carolina, rather than out of Texas or Sandusky. So weird stuff going on. And, you know, obviously we're going to watch this closely and it'll be very interesting to see how it unfolds.
But... question for you, Ryan, if you were a member of the corporate team, they told you, okay, you got a option here. You know, do you want to live in Arlington, Texas, or do you want to live in Charlotte, North Carolina? Which place are you picking?
Probably Charlotte, North Carolina. I've always heard good things about North Carolina. Like, Texas is wonderful too. Like, I know we had Jeffrey Siebert on the program and he talked up San Antonio a lot. If it was in like San Antonio or something, that might be a tougher decision. But I know
Arlington's a beautiful area. I love the Arlington area.
You just like it because Six Flags headquarters are built into a baseball stadium right now.
No, I mean, it is a beautiful area. That part of Texas, the San Antonio area is beautiful. But yeah, I mean, if I had to pick one of the two, I would go with Charlotte. I lived in North Carolina for a little over a year and absolutely loved it. I had several, stints as an interim PR person at Carowinds. Mm-hmm. So that's like a second home to me almost is Charlotte.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Very good question. Thanks so much. Hey, we'll be back next week with some more pick sixes and awesome guests and stuff. But I'm Ryan Serlong with Donna Helbig. Thank you for listening to the Attractions Group podcast.